Father, we do thank you that your love for us never gives out, that nothing can separate us from your love in Jesus Christ. We thank your love, that your love is active, that we can experience it, that expresses your absolute commitment to us. We thank you that we've seen it supremely in Jesus, and we are hungry for more of your Spirit and more of your love. Would you speak to us today afresh of your love for us? Would you fill us afresh with that love before we rush back to work? We're here, Father, in response to your love, and we are grateful for every experience of it. And we give you this thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. How marvelous. How lovely to see you. And thank you for coming. Oh, what a relief. It was not raining hard as you had to come through the streets to get here. It's great to see you. And thank you, Chris and the band, for leading us in worship. That was marvelous. I love that drum roll. We need more of that. Really just what we need. On your way out, you'll see on the church door the date of the carol service on the 16th of December, which is a marvellous opportunity to ask colleagues just get here early because it's normally totally packed out. And there'll be more details on the website, and there'll be cards next week which you can take and use as invitations if you'd like to do so. 16th of December, 1 to 1:30, followed by mulled wine and mince pies, which are served very quickly so you can not be entirely hungry when you go back to work. May I read you a few verses from Mark chapter 5? Mark chapter 5, beginning at verse 1 on page 951 of the Church Bibles. Page 951. Jesus and his disciples went across the lake to the region of the Gerasenes. When he got out of the boat, a man with an evil spirit came from the tombs to meet him. Then I drop down to verse 6. When he saw Jesus from a distance, he ran and fell on his knees in front of him. He shouted at the top of his voice, "What do you want with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? In God's name, don't torture me." For Jesus had said to him, "Come out of this man, you evil spirit." Then Jesus asked him, "What is your name?" "My name is Legion," he replied, "for we are many." And he begged Jesus again and again not to send them out of the area. A large herd of pigs was feeding on the nearby hillside. The demons begged Jesus, "Send us among the pigs, allow us to go into them." He gave them permission, and the evil spirits came out and went into the pigs. The herd, about 2,000 in number, rushed down to the steep bank into the lake and were drowned. It's one of those enigmatic passages initially, and you're thinking, I wonder how that relates to the 21st century financial services industry and being a Christian within it. Well, I hope you'll have begun to get an answer over the next few minutes. I've just been along the road to say grace at a lunch for an organization of which I've been their chaplain since I came here 15 years ago. And really good people, delightful people, many still working in the area, some retired. At the end of the day, I sometimes sit at home and think, I wonder how much impact I've made for the Lord Jesus Christ in the lives of most of them over the last decade and a half. What else could I have done so that they'd be wildly packing out this service on a Wednesday lunchtime? Why am I not able to do more, get through to them more clearly about the Lord Jesus, I sometimes think. I get on well with them. They're astonished. I drink orange juice at the reception beforehand, and they're all on something much, much stronger. But, you know, I try and explain that I've got to be sober if I'm going to preach. I work well with them. I marry some of them. I baptize their children. And yet when it comes to eternity, and I look round, I think sometimes I wonder how many people will be there saying, do you remember that conversation? Do you remember that service? Do you remember that question I asked you? And it's probably the same for most of us. Here in the city, we see people every day, we get on well with them, we talk to them, we go to parties with them, go for a drink with them on a Thursday evening, we talk a bit about what we do at the weekend, they sometimes ask where we go on Wednesday. But we do sometimes wonder, in the years ahead, what impact will I have made on them for the Lord Jesus Christ? It would be very easy to feel guilty about it or slightly helpless because, you know, we pray, we're ready to answer questions. But it's clear from this reading that the Lord Jesus Christ would understand exactly how we'd feel when we're feeling less than positive about things. And he would want to encourage us as we try and work out how we are to respond to people we see every day around here. As you'll have picked up in the reading, the day wasn't exactly full of instant potential for the Lord Jesus Christ. He was facing an impossible challenge. We saw that. This man lived in the tombs. No one could bind him anymore, not even with a chain. Often been chained, broken it apart. No one strong enough to subdue him. Night and day among the tombs in the hills, he'd cry out and cut himself with stones. Looking at him, you'd think, oh, Lord, why didn't you send me someone nice and easy and middle class and intellectual? Then at least I could have engaged with them in conversation. It was apparently it was an impossible challenge. And it was an unwelcoming and potentially hostile environment too. It's easy in some contexts, isn't it? Or at least comparatively easy to talk about our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. But quite a lot of the day we can sometimes find ourselves in situations where people aren't interested, where it's not on their agenda and they don't want to know. They really don't want to engage in a conversation about faith, let alone something so personal as about Jesus. And here, this young, untrained Jewish rabbi, Jesus of Nazareth, finds himself not just in Jewish territory with people being dubious about him, but in Gentile territory where they were absolutely opposed to him. And there had been an initial failure. We see that, though I hadn't noticed it until recently, in verse 8. For Jesus had said to him, come out of this man, you evil spirit. And clearly it hadn't worked. Jesus' initial response had failed. They hadn't been interested. They'd ignored it. You know, I sometimes think, Lord Jesus, if you were here, it would all be so much easier for you, wouldn't it? But actually, it wasn't always perfectly easy for him. It would have been easy to give up, to go home. But as we read on about what happened next, it's really encouraging for those of us who've been put down and ignored when we've tried to share our faith. Of course, it was helped for the Lord Jesus that he was God, which explains, of course, why when the demons said they were called legion, he sent them into the pigs and they ran into the sea and drowned. For his contemporaries, they'd have thought, when did we last see a legion being drowned in the sea? And they'd have thought back to the Exodus when the Egyptian army was drowned, when the Red Sea came and came back into place after the people of Israel had passed through it onto dry land. Easier in a way for Jesus because he was God. But in the end of the day, in spite of that clue, for those who could pick up the clue, most, of course, didn't. At the end of the day, what was left? People wanted him to go. We see that in the passage too long for me to read. In verse 17, the people began to plead with Jesus to leave their region. And of course, he got into a boat and left. He was left with one lone witness. For all that day's dramatic events, he was just left with one committed person in that region. Other people simply didn't want him to go, didn't want him to know him. They wanted him to get out of their lives. But the man had been changed profoundly and publicly. When he tried to follow Jesus, Jesus wasn't having any of that, as we can see again in one of the verses I wasn't able to read. As Jesus was getting into the boat, we see in verse 18, the man who'd been demon-possessed begged to go with him. Jesus did not let him go, but said, "Go home to your own people. Tell them how much the Lord has done for you and how much he's had mercy on you." So the man went away and began to tell them all that had happened. And in spite of what happened, in spite of the fact that they wanted him to leave, there was only one man on whom he'd had any impact, things began imperceptibly to happen. The last phrase in verse 20, and the people were amazed because the man wouldn't shut up talking about what had happened to him. And you think, yes, if there's only one like that among the 150 people I've just been having a drink with and said grace for, just one on whom I'd had that amazing impact, just one other person in your office. Remember when Brian gave his testimony 6 months ago and said he led his boss to faith? The impact that the two of them could have as a result. And it made me pray as I thought about it. Lord Jesus, I need you to do something in me which is so clear and so liberating that I will have the faith to talk openly and boldly and people will be able to see the truth of what I say and they will be amazed even if they don't admit to it initially. Not meant to be so aware of the challenges and the apathy and the opposition and the failure. We're meant to say, I've got a vision, Lord. Because of what you did that day and the challenges you face. And I need your help. I need more of you. I need constantly to be filled with your spirit so I'm being changed. And as a result, I am more and more credible. I would love to see leave a legacy every year of one person in this square mile changed as a result of my faith. But it starts with me saying, I can believe it enough, Lord, to ask for your help. Don't believe it totally yet. I still have all kinds of, it's very easy to feel defeated. But I really understand you want to do something in me that'll make it possible.